Good morning. This is Commissioner Richard Weaver from District 2, and with me today I have Mr. Zach Tomlin, owner of Tomlin Technology.
Good morning, Zach. How you doing, Commissioner Weaver?
I'm glad you could be here today with us. You know, one of the issues, and I have constituents with this too, is, you know, today in the world, we're out here with security systems and security of those systems, and especially computers, and you live in this world of technology. Can we start off a little bit, you know, who is Zach Tomlin and Tomlin Technology?
Absolutely. So I'm Zach Tomlin. I've been in Carroll County for four generations now, happy to say. I do a lot of IT management for medium to small businesses to we do even residential repair. Part of IT management is ensuring that the assets and the systems for the businesses that we support are secure. And as you mentioned, we've been seeing quite a bit of increased what they call attack surfaces, which means areas where hackers can get in. So that's something that we're dealing with in this pandemic time.
Okay, for the average person out here, they have their computer, and now they have the kids at home, hybrid, certain days, maybe on a computer. They're using the computer to work from home for their jobs. What are some of the things you're seeing or things that need flags go up that we need to look at as far as somebody breaking into their system and hacking into them?
Well, I'll start with the virtual learning. Since I have two boys and I have three stepchildren, basically, it's been a challenge for me, even as a technician. I have them set up with some of the best technology I could get so that they would have an advantage. But still, you know, you can see them watching the YouTube videos and they're starting to get into things that they shouldn't be. And that's a big concern for parents. And it's very hard because sometimes these children, they're growing up with the technology. So they know how to use it sometimes better than the parents do. So it is very, very important to make sure that you do your absolute best to monitor what your children are doing on the internet, who they're talking to, make sure that they understand that they aren't to give out any personal information if they're talking to someone. This is true in virtual learning and with video games. Everybody's locked inside and the kids are playing video games a lot, and a lot of online interactions happen there as well.
Okay, from a parent's point of view, all of a sudden they find their son or daughter's interacting in an area that they question on that. What should they do at that point?
So if you find out by looking through your kid's browser history, you get interested and you find out that they're talking to someone they shouldn't be, or if you suspect any suspicious behavior, one thing that I can say is if there's a 40-year-old person talking to a 10-year-old girl on the internet, for most reasons, they don't have a reason to do that, except for some kind of nefarious reason. So when you see that, you do have to educate yourself, make sure that they cut off contact with those individuals, and come talk to someone like myself or somebody at my staff at Tomlin Technology or another IT professional and get some help locking down the systems. There are so many apps on the phones the kids have. There are so many different services, and it's very hard to monitor all those services. But my recommendation is if you see something that worries you, be vigilant. Always keep your eyes open, and until you can ensure that the kids are using the internet appropriately and responsibly, maybe you need to take a step back and cut it off until you know that you can really monitor your children and make sure that they're not in danger.
Oh, wow. That's good advice. I know some of the SROs are in school, and if there's an issue, even the kids or parents could call that SRO to get them involved if they suspect something. And I know we had one situation a year or so ago where actually they stopped a whole ring of child trafficking by a young girl going to her SRO and mentioning something's not right with this person's telling me. So, you know, this is all very important. The other thing is, okay, people are working from home quite a bit today. What do they have to do to make sure they don't jeopardize their company and or their own accounting system or whatever's on the computer for them to just alleviate any problems?
So what we've noticed is this huge shift, and we've known it was coming, the cloud migration, the migration to be able to work remotely. We've known it's been coming for years, but COVID-19 kind of put a flame behind it. Tech companies started investing in Teams and Google and all types of different services to collaborate. while that's great, every network is different. So if you have 10 employees working from home, that's 10 different networks that you're dealing with on that end that we really don't have control over. So if you are an employee, the one thing that I can say is security is a pain in the butt sometimes. It is inconvenient, but you have to do it. Multi-factor authentication is one thing that's very important. Multi-factor authentication consists of different types of validation. So you have to have something you know, something you are, or something that you have. So for the example, something you know would be a password. Something you have would be like your mobile device. And something you are would be like biometrics, fingerprint, eye scan, things like that. We have been rolling out multi-factor authentication all over the place. And sometimes we get a little pushback, because it is a pain, and we understand that. Logging into accounts and having to push in a code every single time, but it's so important to make sure that that's happening, because passwords get leaked all the time. So make sure that you're following the advice of the company that's managing your IT and following through with things like multi-factor authentication. Also, go educate yourself. I grew up in Carroll County. I understand my father is a contractor, my grandfather were excavators, so I always like to say I came from the dirt to the nerd world. And I understand, because that generation and growing up in rural Carroll County, technology is not something that people were always keen on. And so making it a little more difficult is even more of a stress, but education is going to stop most of those issues if you can look through an email and say, wait a minute, these spelling mistakes, that's a little strange. It sounds a little foreign. Or if you're not expecting an email, for example, and it's telling you to click on a link, don't click on that link. Validate that that email is actually legitimate before you do that type of stuff. Hackers are becoming more sophisticated. They're using better tools. They're getting better at fooling us. So we need to, in turn, fight that by educating ourselves.
Well, now this is a national problem, international problem, actually, of people hacking into accounts. And I know we have a lot of people that do online banking, bill paying, and everything else. Does that increase, I guess, our chances of being hacked?
Anytime you introduce a new attack surface or a vector, it introduces a new way for a hacker to get in. So any type of device, any new device you have, if you have 5 devices, that's 5 chances that a hacker has to get in. If you have 20 bank accounts online with different sign-ins, those are all vulnerable. So yes, it's definitely making it harder. My key advice is keep it simple. Try to consolidate. If you consolidate, if you have 15 laptops and you're really only using 12, say, for a company, well, maybe you don't need those other 3 laptops. Maybe they don't need to be in the mix, because that's 3 other chances for those hackers to get in.
Wow. That's good information to have. I hear people all the time, I got hacked, got into my credit card or bank account. What about people who use their credit card to buy things online now? And that's happening quite a bit during this pandemic. Is that relatively safe, or what do you...
There are services that kind of insure you, if that's the best term to use, but like PayPal, services like that that will back you up if someone makes a charge and they don't follow through. There's also companies like, I believe it's privacy.com. Have to get back to you on the actual, but it's where you can actually put in your real credit card information and they issue you almost like a pseudo card, so that the companies that you are subscribing to don't actually have your real card information. They have this card that's linked up to a card that you have on this privacy website. And that's great, because I don't know about you, but there have been some subscriptions that I've had to try to cancel, and it's been almost near impossible to get them canceled, and they keep billing you. So that's a service I use quite often.
That's good to know. All right. Now, you know, we have a diverse population out here, everything from probably some of these young kids who really know how to use technology to some people that don't even hardly have a computer anymore. And getting signed up just for COVID shots has been an experience for some people that weren't at all computer savvy. For those people, what do you recommend? Just very limited computer use if they're not really savvy in it?
I empathize so much with computer users right now, because the way that technology has sped up, even me, someone who's been a nerd my entire life and passionate about what I do, I was ahead 2 years ago or a year ago. I was ahead of all this stuff. COVID hit and the technology evolved so quickly that now I'm almost falling slightly behind. So for people that have limited use of the computer and things like that, it's really just vigilance. And I hate to say it, but one of the things I hear constantly is, I hate these dang computers, and I want to throw them out the window. I get that feeling all the time. This is what I do, you know? So half the time I want to pay a tribute to Bill Gates and throw the computers out the window. But the reality of it is, this is our world now. We can't think like that anymore. We have to embrace and accept the fact that using computers, using networks, online access, that is part of everyday life. So even if you don't use computers that much and you have limited access, you should still educate yourself on what you do use. Email, for example, that's probably one of the primary things, right? Well, phishing scams get you to click on links and then get you to enter your password. So if you watch some videos about how to avoid phishing scams because you use email, that's great. You might not need to get an education all over the board about security, but just what you do with the computer and make sure that what you are doing is secure.
Okay, well, Zach, it looks like we're out of time here for today, but I appreciate your advice to constituents out here, our friends and neighbors, on use of computers. And I guess more than anything, you're saying be careful.
Yeah.
If in doubt, don't look at it or yep. Don't unlock it. And they really get in trouble, call your IT person.
That's right. I always say think before you click.
Think before you click. Well, thank you. Today, I want to thank Zach Tomlin from Tomlin Technology for talking to us about cybersecurity. And this is Commissioner Richard Weaver from District 2 wishing you a good week. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.